Baruch haba, everybody. Baruchim haba'im. Shkoyach, we're coming out in the week of midterms and the like, and unpredictable weather, in order to come back and learn Sefer Bereishit. I was leaving aside that this is for the wrong parasha, obviously, but I was thinking to myself, like, what to teach? You know, there are so many wonderful stories of Avraham within Lech Lecha and Vayera, and I thought we should learn one of the less well-known ones. We should learn one of the minor ones. Right? One of the most fascinating things in Tanakh is that you've got the big characters and then you've got like the minor characters. And obviously a lot more attention is given to the major characters rather than the minor ones. So I'd never really learned the topic of Lot and his daughters beforehand. It's a short story. It's at the end of chapter 19 if you want to turn there. Page 88. I assume that people are familiar with the broad outlines of the story. After fleeing Sodom, the destruction of Sodom, Lot flees up a mountain, just him and his daughters. There his daughters get him drunk, they sleep with him, they become pregnant. That's the story. I think it's 9 verses. Okay, how are we to read this story, right? What are we to think of it? What are we to make of it? And I hope by the end of tonight you'll have something of the experience that I've had in the last few days of just like, wow, this is, you know, this is rich, this is like deep. And you know, I hope you are people who like looking at every word and maybe even every letter in order to really get significance, because that's where it's going to come. So we're going to go and read it all together, well, b'chevruta, in a minute. I'm just going to read the first two sources from the source sheet, which I haven't given out to you yet, because I don't want you to be cheating and reading all the rest of the sources. But just to give you a sense, I'm going to quote two Jewish sources. They are pre-Chazal, they're pre-Rabbinic, but they are post-Tanakh. The first one is from Sefer HaYobalim. Anyone know what the Book of Jubilees is? Ever heard of it? It is, I believe it's part of the Apocrypha, yeah. Book of Jubilees is a... It's sort of like a sort of a pre-midrash, like fills in a lot of the gaps in the Torah, expands it, right? And so it wants to expand our story, and it says that Lot hitzilanu ki zachar Elokim et Avraham. God saved Lot because Hashem remembered Avraham. V'yotziyehu mitoch ha'hafacha, and took him out of the devastation of Sodom. Aval gam hu ubnotav chatu cheta shel al ha'aretz. Right, he and his daughters sinned greatly. Never since the days of Adam HaRishon had such a terrible sin been committed in the world. For a man to lie with his daughters, to sleep with his daughters. It was decreed against all of his descendants. It was a fascinating phrase. It was engraved on the luchot of heaven. Lahachritam v'lasot mishpat pahem kamos Sodom, that they would be wiped out and that their descendants would be like that of Sodom. Livilti hishir lo zera al haaretz, right? He wouldn't have any descendants left in the world, but Yom HaPekudah, on the day of judgment, right? Book of Jubilees fills in the gaps, right, to tell you that this is one of the most disgusting, terrible things. The people, they might have got out of Sodom, but Sodom didn't get out of them. This is what happened to Lot and his family. And it's not only the sin of his daughters, right? You read the text, we'll see, and Lot seems to be, you know, not really conscious. He's an old man, but in this, Lot himself is a part of it. That's Sefer HaYobalim, Book of Jubilees. And here is Josephus, right? Josephus, the great Jewish historian, wrote a lot about the Roman-Jewish War, but he also wrote this huge history of the Jewish people, and he goes all the way back to Tanakh, and in his reading of it, his daughters thought that all mankind was destroyed, and they approached their father, though taking care not to be perceived, right? They didn't want to make it something, you know, vulgar and clear to everybody. Why did they do this? That humankind might not utterly fail, so that they could bear sons. The son of the elder was Moab, the younger one was Amnon, etc., etc. He says where they then live. In other words, Lot's daughters were saving the world, right? They had thought that all of humanity was wiped out, right? They thought that like what happened to Sodom was like another version of the Mabul of the flood, and they were like the only people left in the world. They saved humanity, right? Now, of course, actually there were other people around, but they didn't know that, right? In their eyes, they saved humanity. Says Sefer HaYobalim, This is the greatest sin that has ever happened from Adam Harishon forever. Says Josephus, they thought they were saving the world, right? You can't not think of them sympathetically if they—if that's not, you know, imagine, according to what, they should have let the whole world die out and that would be it. What they did in order to save mankind. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to judge? So, open up, everybody, bottom of page 88, if you don't have it already. Begins really in Pasuk Lamed. Right, Lot says, no, obviously his wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, etc. And now, well, maybe we'll just read the first pasuk together, because we see something very interesting in the first pasuk. But Ya'al, watch how the pasuk divides into two. Okay, and tell me the difference in the first half and the second half of the verse. But Ya'al Lot mitzo'al, Lot goes up from Tzo'al, the place where he'd been in between after leaving Sodom. But Yeshev Bahal, bottom of page 88, Joe. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. He dwells on the mountain. Ushtei benotav imo. It's great that the page divides it here, because this is where the verse breaks, right? What do you say in that? Amazing. Wow, Art Scroll, they know what they're doing, right? What do you say about that? Quite neutral, right? Lot goes up from Tzohar, and he lives on... Why does he move from Tzohar? I know people move for plenty of reasons, right? Move to a nicer climate, move to job opportunities, right? Yeshev Bahal. Dwells on a mountain, right? Nice, probably got a good view, etc. Shnei benotav imo, he's, you know, with his family, etc., etc. Isn't it? You're not given details other than the basics. And now the second half of the verse basically repeats everything that's in the first half of the verse, but suddenly adds a much darker tone. Ki yarei leshevet b'tzo'ar. He's terrified, fearful of living in Tzo'ar. Vayeshev b'ma'ara. Dwells in a cave, right? Now, we've already spoken about caves earlier on this semester with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Moshe, and it's a place where people meet God, etc. But it seems there's also another connotation to a cave, which is caves are very scary places. It's caves where you go to hide, or a cave is where you go to die, right? There are plenty of stories that you'll find in Tanakh along those lines as well. Hu ushtei benotav. Anyone see an interesting difference there between the end of the second half and the end of the first half?
It flips it.
Right? Shtei, well, not only does it flip it, what else does it do?
Separate.
Right. First time it's shtei benotav imo. They're like a family unit, he and his daughters together. Now it's who? Him. And shtei benotav, his two daughters.
It's translated wrong.
Oh, I haven't looked at the...
second half.
His two daughters with him. He was, yeah. What can we do? Okay, let's not rely on translations if we don't have to. So, I turn it over to you, everybody. Let's take a couple of minutes. Find a chevruta sitting next to you and read just those verses, Pasuk Lamed Aleph to Pasuk Lamed Chet, verse 31 to 38, and see what it is we get. Are we with Josephus? Are we with the Book of Jubilees? Or are we going to be somewhere in between? Let's do it, and then we will come back together. Turn to the person next to you. So, page 90, end of chapter 19. All right, everybody, lovely to hear such limud. Let's come back together. We'll just let's just read one verse in, and then we'll take sounding. So we left with pasuk lamed pasuk lamed aleph. V'tomer habechira el hatziira. The older one says to the younger one. Avinu Zaken. What did somebody just say over there?
What are their names?
Mamash. Great question. What are their names? Right?
Why do they need names?
Well, I mean, it's... Very, anyone see... Okay, they don't have names. Anyone see any significance to the fact they don't have names?
Not important.
They don't matter. Okay, so you're looking at sort of the event rather than the personalities? Or it's more about Lot? Jason?
You could say that they had positive intentions, but then that's why the Torah's kind of like trying to hide...
Ah, it's like a tzniut thing. The Torah doesn't want to give their names to posterity. Man, yen me'od. Wow, cool.
But what about love?
Like, wow, okay, good. Michael's asking lots of questions. He asked one before earlier that, like, we're going to come to as we go. What about Lot? Why would Lot be named not his daughter? Come back to it. Avinu Zaken. Avinu Zaken. Our father is old. Very interesting, right? Old, right? This is the last story of Lot, right? We're not going to see him again. right? So Lot is, you know, he presumably dies at some point after this, shortly after this. We don't know when. He's old. He's passive. He doesn't say a single word in it. He's also had some trauma, right? He's had some very, very big trauma. He's seen his world destroyed. He's lost his family. He's lost his wife, right? Imagine what it'd be like, you know, they're sitting at the table in the cave, and right, the daughter says, you know, can you pass me the salt? It's not my joke, but... Right, imagine that. How about that for a triggering question? Right? That joke, by the way, is the if you don't get the joke, then let's read back earlier in the chapter. That joke. Really? This is adding so much to this year. Oh my gosh, I was liking that. The joke, by the way, is the joke of Dr. Yonatan Grossman, who basically is the inspiration for the shiur. It's a wonderful book on Abraham. So, by way of remembering his jokes, I remember to also say that this is his Torah. Avinu Zaken, our father's very old. Vish ein ba'aretz, there's nobody other man left in the land. Lavo aleinu kederech kol ha'aretz, in order to come to us as the way of all the land, in order to be our husbands. What do we read, people? Positive, negative. Let's just do a...
Weird.
Positive.
Okay, can we
is there like an in-between option?
Okay, well, very much there is. That's what we're going to come to. Toby, question.
Okay, I have a question. So, it sounds like they left... So they run away from Stone.
Yeah.
Then they go to Zoar.
Yeah.
And then from Zoar, they go to this cave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, did they not see other people in Zoar on their way from Stone?
Probably not. The whole place is destroyed. Huh?
Sorry, you just said... Was
not destroyed. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they move to another place.
So what Toby's raising on the question is that they would have seen other people.
Yeah.
Seemingly they didn't seem other people. So the sorry?
They didn't see anyone because they were already in Zoar when Lot's wife breaks the salt.
Okay.
That's when she turns back. So
okay.
They weren't allowed to turn back because she broke out.
Good. Let's not dwell on it too much for now. Matthew, you said positive?
Yes.
Go on, tell us why.
God's intentions were all for the good. There's no negative intention here. It seems like they were only doing it because there was no other option.
Okay, good. Hello, you said
I
weird.
I say the exact reason for the opposite, though. Because they made a crazy assumption that there is no one else. They make that assumption. They don't know that for sure. They make an assumption, and therefore they're taking this drastic measure without thinking about it.
Okay, Ed and then Avi.
I'm just confused, because if they would have thought that there was no one there, then mm-hmm. why do they just say that there's... Like, why do they say Kederach Kol Ha'aretz? Like, they should have just said there's no person to...
Well, I think it sort of like preempts what they're about to do, which is very much not Kederach Kol Ha'aretz.
Yeah, but I feel like if there
this
were
is our
no
only
other
op-
person...
There's no normal option left. We can only resort to this.
But I feel like they would phrase it differently.
Interesting. Abi?
Argument against Hillel. I'm assuming like Lot's daughter like had like know some history, like had like some there's some like history book here and like that like the world was just like destroyed.
What? Please, let's give respect to the person speaking.
Like, it's not a crazy thing that like wow the world was just destroyed that like the sort like that Lot that Noah the Mabul happened. Like I'm guessing that's knowledgeable like that they like heard of that from like their like great grandfather. That they've heard of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when they're alone, all in place, like, it's not just crazy something that God just wiped out the world again.
But they didn't know the story well enough to know that God gave his promise after the flood.
No, not that much.
Right. They had a basic knowledge. Okay, Jason?
I think also to go against the law.
Wow.
I think one of the purposes with the word, our father's old, kind of bringing it except the fact that, like, he's getting old and
good.
The world is an
good.
End if we don't appropriate it.
Yeah, there is, by the way, I think the Radak brings another interpretation, which is it's a very interesting one. Avinu Zaken the Ish Ein Ba'aretz, I think he says, or maybe quoting this in somebody else's name, that our father is old, he's not going to be able to find us a husband. Right? Interesting, right? In the world of Sefer Bereshit, you know, daughters don't find husbands for themselves, right? They get their, even sons don't find husbands for themselves, right? They get their parents to sort it out for them. Last point?
Yeah, just to defend myself a little bit.
Fair. Right of reply.
The reason I said what I said, that they don't think about it, is because the next pasuk starts that they get drunk that night.
Okay. Right, okay. So look, let's make a quick list. I think I've done a list and you can add to it. Reasons how you can judge them positively. Firstly, like Josephus or like Matthew, they're saving the world. Right? They think they're saving the world. And even if they're not saving the world, even if it's a narrow one, they're saving their family. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for kids, right? That's for the continuation of the family. That's pretty clear. Also, like, they get pregnant immediately. Right? Now, statistically, that doesn't happen. Right, that shouldn't really take place like single night. Right, they haven't had relations before. At least that's what their father told us earlier on. that's what their father thought. Right.
Why are we assuming this right away?
Yeah.
One night, next night, but I don't know.
But then it comes. Then you assume that like before, like everything is chronological. Like
I don't think you can bring a proof from something which isn't there. It seems very much that first night, second night. And they get pregnant. There's no sense that they're there.
First night, second night,
and then they get pregnant.
They chill for 9 months, and then
maybe. You've also got the sort of ke'ilu celebratory ending, right at the end. Ammon, Moab. Now, not that Ammon and Moab are unproblematic nations in Tanakh, but still, like, you know, it sort of gives that sort of grand thing. Anyone think of any other stories in Tanakh where women come very close to going beyond the edge of normative practice? Maybe they even go over it in order to have children. And Hemshech Yud. Sorry? Yehud and Tamar and? Oh, that would be an interesting one. But I think that the classic one, it would be Tamar and Rut. Right? Come to that. Rut and Tamar, who... there are some who claim this is a very strong parallel. Right, that you see there are, you know, you might say that there are, you know, four women in Tanakh, or three stories of women in Tanakh, who in order to keep the family or even possibly keep the world going, you know, go significantly beyond normal behavior, possibly imperil themselves, open themselves up to very harsh judgment. They do it for the future. Tamar, we judge very positively. Tzadkami meni, she's more righteous than I am, says Yehuda. Rut, we judge very positively, obviously. And maybe we should put the daughters of Lot together with that. That's the positive way of looking at it. What would be the negative way? What would be the reasons to say it's negative? The story itself, right? You don't need any more than that. The Torah is very, very sensitive to... The Torah is very, very sensitive to Arayot, right? Not just like parents and children shouldn't have relations with each other. The Torah goes significantly more than that. Last week's parasha, Raquel and Navi were mentioning it, right? Noach and his sons, right? They saw his nakedness, right? Rashi gives interpretations. Yesh omrim silsu. There are some who say that they turned him into a eunuch. Yesh omrim ribo. There are some who say that his sons raped him. Yesh omrim kipshato. There are some who just say they saw him naked and they laughed at him, right? You know, that's the simple reading of the verses, and like it's stories that anyone who's got any sensitivity to the world of Tanakh and beyond like finds deeply, deeply problematic. That's the first thing. Also, you might say Rut and Tamar aren't really parallel pictures. You know, Rut with Boaz and Tamar with Yehuda, they're not their father, right? You know, maybe you can't draw them together. Let's just quickly pass these round. Take one and pass on. I'm going to show you some great stories. I mean, we've given the Book of Jubilees and Josephus, their positive and negative takes. It seems that people here also divide. Here's a lovely midrash, right? Source number 3. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Kalcha, Gemara en Nazir. Lo'olam yakdim adam ledavar mitzvah. You should run to do a mitzvah. Never leave a mitzvah waiting. You should do it immediately. Where do we see this? Shebeschar laila achat. The fact that she got there a night earlier, the older daughter than the younger daughter. Shekadma b'chira letzira. Look at her reward. Zachta b'kadma arba dorot v'Yisrael melachim. right? The kings came from Moab 4 generations before they came from Israel. Do you have one? Where do you learn that a person should run to do mitzvot? From Lot's oldest daughter. Right, what a mistake did the younger one make not grabbing the first night, right? Yeah, think about it, right? You could have had kings from Ammon long before kings from Moab, right? That's the reward for the oldest daughter. Please God, we should all run to do mitzvot, right? Minyan, by the way, is 8:15 tomorrow, right? We should run to do mitzvot. And we learn this from Lot's oldest daughter, right? This is amazing, right? Michael asked an excellent question beforehand. I don't know if anybody else thought of it. This is also the question that is asked in the Midrash and Bereshit Rabbah, source number 4. Right, they say, let's give our father wine and get him drunk. Says the Midrash, Minayim hayalehem mayim b'mara. Right, before you get to any of your ethical questions, right, what, they just suddenly found an off-license, a wine shop in the in the cave, the whole world's been destroyed, and they haven't had, where does wine come from in a cave like that? Anybody else think of that question, apart from Michael? Oh, very good, Gary. Don't be shy, excellent. So the first one is a pshat one. Mimasha hayayin merubin lahem eviyoto b'marot. Right, it's a real wine country, right? Around Yerushalayim is wine country. It makes sense that Sodom, before it was destroyed, be wine country. They'd store it in the caves. Lucky for them, they happened to find a cave which was a wine storage cellar. Okay, that's cool. But here's my favourite one. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, na'ase lahem ma'ayan. Me'ein dugma shel olam haba. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give him just a little taste of the world to come. Right there, right then, right, he says, I'll give you wine, I'll help you out. Hey, Achmad Da'at, right, just like the pasuk from Yoel about time of Moshiach, V'haya b'yom ha'u yatfu ha'harim ha'sis, and on that day the mountains will drip with sweet wine. Isn't that great, right? Hashem just took a little bit of Biyat HaMoshiach and the world to come. He put it right there in that cave in order to give them, Gabriella. So that's a good question. The Josephus and the Ramban, who we will go on to see, suggest that this is exactly part of their righteousness. Now, no father would want to know that this has happened. I mean, no right-minded father. They know they need to do it to save the world, or at least to save the family. The Ramban says they were tsnuot, right? They're so tsanua that they didn't tell their father. Right, they went out of the way to hide this from their father. Something disgusting has to happen, but it has to happen in order to save the world. And they're going to do it and protect their father's dignity and protect their father's knowledge. Right? And so Hashem said, wow, I want to help you with that. Let me give you a little taste of Olam Haba. And he took the verse from the book of Yoel about the mountains dripping with wine. And he said, here, I'm going to give you wine.
Does Luke not wonder where
the
babies come from?
It's a great one, right? They're at the Brit, right? And like they call the kid Moab. And Lot's like, wow, that's a great name. Who's the grandfather? he may well wonder, right? Of course, that's not the only midrash, right? Source number 5, just next, straight over in Bereshit Rabbah, continuation, same source. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Chanin, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, b'notav shel Lot holchot la'avor aveira, v'nitpakdu. You know how difficult it is to get pregnant? You know how many righteous women there are in Tanakh who struggle to get pregnant? And suddenly these women do this disgusting thing and they get pregnant? Bezeschut! Right? What merit do they have that allows them to get pregnant? Bezeschut Moav, read Me'av, right? From their great uncle, right? Shneimar ba'Abraham, ki av hamon goyim natatiha. God has said to Abraham, I'll make him the father of many nations, right? Because of the zechut of Abraham, they get to have it, right? Wonderful diversity in Midrash takes this clear distinction that we've all got of how to read the story and says, you know, all these wonderful things, some reading it as an amazing mitzvah, some reading it as a terrible avera, and the Ramban, you can read it in your own time, the Ramban in source number 6 is a very good example of just being very torn, right? He doesn't know whether to really read them very positively, and as I said to Gabriella, it's like really tsanua, they didn't tell their father because they're so modest, they don't want to put him through it. Or actually, you know, are they doing this disgusting thing which, you know, has never found anybody who would think it's an all right thing to do? We've seen a lot, right? We've read the story ourselves, we all see a problem. There is a midrash that Rashi quotes, and that Rashi puts at the front of his Perush, which says that actually, not only to take and pass on, not only might you feel confused as to whether or not they are positive or negative, but perhaps even within the story, we may divide. There are two daughters, the older one and the younger one. Are we at, and the common denominator between all the different sources we've seen is that everything is said, they're either both good or they're both bad. Maybe we should read it in a more nuanced way.
Younger one didn't do anything.
Ah, let's see. Yeah, Pinchas.
I find it interesting that on the first night it was the older one, and the very next night it was the younger one. That's seemingly implying that either the older one was super confident she had gotten pregnant after one night and knew that happened, or that this wasn't about getting pregnant.
How could it not be about getting pregnant?
Because then why is the second one sleeping with her father immediately?
She assumes she is pregnant.
After a day, you should know.
No, but if she's so determined to do this just to get pregnant, surely she should do it for 10 days in a row, and then at least she can come away thinking, okay.
I mean, we're not going to get into the details of, nor I think we're obligated to go on.
No, but I think that's what Pinchas is saying, that like, it doesn't make, if they were really doing it for them to get pregnant, then there's no reason she should have been so confident after one night that she sends her other sister in the next night.
Well,
isn't it a hope that they're going to be able to both have children? Wouldn't it make sense that they're going to maximize their chances?
Yeah, double the chances.
Oh, presumably, yeah. Hello.
The basis is that first the older one, starts to have their father, and the younger one does. And after that, then all of a sudden they're both pregnant.
Why is that a problem?
We have no idea.
As in, it seems like it wasn't the first one did it, then she got pregnant, and the second one did it, she got pregnant.
It's the way in which the story is told, as you know, you don't find out you're pregnant immediately, right, the day after, right, it takes... Okay, so look, the way in which the story is told is going to be key, right, as in people are getting, stumbling here over details that should be in there which seem to not be in the story. I think what we're going to see is that even in these verses, which seem to be just like almost direct repetitions of the first night and the second night, that actually the words that the Torah chooses are going to be key to understanding actually some differences between them. Final point, Abi.
I don't know, this I think it's like jumping out in the story. Isn't it like really strange that like Lot falls for it like twice? Like fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, but shame on Lot right there. You got me drunk, you see it with me. Oh, let's drink some wine. How
do you know?
He doesn't know. He doesn't know either time. Let's push on, everybody. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to compare the first night and the second night. We're going to compare the. No, it's not a double negative. It's emphatic. Yeah. Exactly. Let's compare first night and second night, everyone. You need to have really good eyesight for this. I apologize, I couldn't put English on it as well, so if you need the English, then follow along in the Chumash. But you'll see that what we've done is we've put the two nights together, okay? Let's try and... It seems so symmetrical. What distinctions can we know? First night, the suggestion comes from the older one. V'toma ha-bechira el ha-tzi'ira. Avinu zaken, our father is old. Ish en ba'aret, she then gives the whole theory. There's no man left in the land, etc., etc. Pasuk lamabet, lachana shke'et avinu yayin. Let's give our father wine. V'nishkava imo, and we will lie with him. V'nichiem avinu zara, and we'll have children through our father. The second night, right, we're jumping verses in order to parallel. V'yihimi macharat, it was on the next night. V'tomer ha... That already gives you a sense that it's somewhat asymmetrical. If it was to be completely symmetrical, it would be Batomer Hatsi'ira, right? Which it could easily happen, right? But the fact that in both nights it's the older one suggesting it already begins to hint to us there might be some interesting distinction between the two. Hen Shachavti Emesh et. Why is that interesting?
Terrifying.
Interesting, right? Until now. She's been Avinu. Lot has been Avinu, our father. Right? He was Avinu multiple times in Lamed Aleph and Lamed Bet. Now suddenly he's Avi. Nashkenu yayin. Let's give him wine. Gam halayla. Ubo shichvi imo. Very interesting, right? That now it's no longer, now not only is it not saying Avi, but even the whole idea of her being her father is she drops the name of her father. And then she says, "V'nichayem avinu zaram." Between the two of us, we'll have kids from our father, Right? She doesn't. Somebody see something in that? On the first night, she's able to say quite clearly, "Our Father." On the second night, trying to convince her younger sister, she doesn't say about it being "Our Father." Marka?
Well, she can say a couple things.
Please?
Okay, so I know in like elementary school, whenever I would go through Dimash, whenever it would start with Vayi, it always meant something bad was going to happen. That was like a rule that we learned. Like Vayi was like.
It seems to me that there are so many Vayahis in the Tanakh. A lot of bad things happen in Tanakh, fair enough. But
with something bad. So the fact that it starts with Vayahi in the second time.
Okay. All right. You'd have to do a huge amount of.
No, if you went to Mariah, you know.
Okay.
Like they made us say uh oh after every time they said Vayahi. Like,
wow. Gosh, I didn't get that. Okay.
And then the second thing is that on the first night, she keeps talking about. She says we on the first night. She's like,
yeah.
Let's do this, let's do this.
Yeah.
But the second night, it seems like the youngest didn't do it.
On the previous night.
Right. On the first night, the oldest said, "Let's sleep with our father. Let's do this." And then the oldest went and did it.
Right. She's seeming to say they should both do it on the first night, but only the first.
On the
only.
Night,
interesting. Very good.
I slept with him.
Very good. I hadn't
right?
thought of that.
So also, but now she's saying, "Now you go sleep with him."
Right.
And it could be. I don't know. Maybe it's like after what she experienced with him, she can't think of him as her father anymore, and that's why she's not really referring.
Interesting, that's
but
one possibility. What's
like,
the
youngest one kind of backed out.
And the younger one's got
after
more
the first night. Like
hesitations.
The first
and
yeah.
Right,
the first
and
night,
so therefore she's using
to,
gentler language in order to convince her. Okay, good, along the right lines. Now, giving the wine, right? Lamed Gimel and Lamed Hey. First night, V'tashkena et avihen yayin b'layla hahu. Lamed Hey, V'tashkena. Gam, okay, gam, that's just a second one. Belaila hahu, et avihen yayin. What's the difference? The order. So I'm not going to spend time trying to convince you of the significance of the order being flipped at this point. If I manage to convince you overall, I'll convince you and we'll go back to that one. I think even that's significant, right? But I'm not going to waste time on it now. Here we get now to the real critical one. First night, v'tavo ha-bechira, V'tishkav et avia. Right, the older one came and lay with her father. Et tishkav et avia. Second night, v'takom hatzeira v'tishkav imo. What are our distinctions?
She's not thinking of him as her father.
Well, we've got a few distinctions. Let's just put before we interpret them. What are the distinctions? Good. So the clear one is that, again, Avia is dropped, right? She lay with her father in the first one, and she lay with him in the second one, right? Note how that also then trickles down to the names that they're given. See how cool this is, right? Go to the second box from the bottom, the naming. Vatikra shmo Moav. The older one calls her son from my father, right? Vatishkav et Avia. V'tikra shmo Moav. The second one, v'tikra shmo ben Ami. Ami, Imi, right? Imo, right? She lay Imo with him, and she calls her son ben Ami, son of my people. In both cases, the first one is much more, I don't want to say, is it vulgar? Is it explicit? Making
blunt.
What happens
direct.
Clear?
Blunt.
Direct, blunt, crude. And the second one, it's more... more muffled, more halted, subdued. Good. More sanua.
Okay, I have a question. You really think that the second one is more sanua? Because to me, it seems like more respectful in a way that it's like batishkav et avia, like also saying et. Whereas when she say like batishkav imo, makes it seem like she slept with it.
So this, I want to come on to this
in
a little bit second, but if Marco brings this up, come on, let's all grammarians.
Yeah, I was going to say the opposite, because in Tanakh, the word for the active word for sleeping with someone sexually is ba, and the word tavo is used on the older daughter.
Oh, okay, good, thank you, right. Yigal has pointed out that we've skipped something, right? Marco, we can come back exactly to your question, right? But what's the first difference in the verse? What's the verb? V'tavo versus... Vatakam, takom. Right, what's vatavo? What will be the difference in connotations? Yigal says that ba doesn't just mean to come somewhere. In Tanakh, it's also a sexual word, right? Vayavoh eleha, right? The word biyah, right, comes from exactly that. Vatakom. It just means to, just it's sort of preparation for doing something. I'll show you in a minute how I think it's even more than that, right? You got something?
What's going back the entire way through, you see it. The fact is, going back to the part where even how you noted that it's the older daughter speaking in both cases.
Yeah.
Because the younger daughter is just so uncomfortable with the idea of sleeping with her father that the older daughter has to change the words. One from Avinu to Avi, he's not your father.
Okay, good.
That's why it says emo, because she has to get out of the mindset that, that he is her father.
Nice, but how do you then see that in Takom versus Tavor?
Because she's not seeing it. I have to make another leap there.
Okay. So
but she doesn't see it. I mean, maybe I would, if I could guess that she doesn't see it as, you know, she's performing a sexual act, she's just doing something to get it done.
Okay. Anyone see any difference between two? Okay, bo we know is sexual, is taku, is lakum, anything other than just preferring, Avi?
Well, you can also look at like my talking to get up or like also get up and like eat or like trying to like the older daughter is like batavo, she's actually going with a little bit like the younger has to go up to that level of let's say of like of that older daughter, batakum goes that level then in order to have a relationship with Lo.
Just to like force herself.
Yeah,
into it.
Okay,
good. Anybody notice how this is the opposite of what her sisters told her to do? Right, the first box on the second night, right, the sort of, I divided it the second bit. Nashkenu yayin, gam halayla, u. See that? Isn't that cool? U boi shichvi imo. She says to him, boi shichvi imo, but she doesn't do that. She rather, vatakom. On the previous night, the older sister had, vatavo. But on this night, it's uboi shichvi. But here's the cool thing. Just translate them, everybody. What does lakum mean?
Stand up.
What does nishkav mean?
Lie down.
These are opposite words. Right? You can do a simple search through Tanakh, and you'll see that the words are always in opposition to each other. Lakum versus nishkav. What's the most famous pasuk where that's obviously the case?
Shoka.
Right. Those who we learned Gemara with last night saw that last night, right? B'shach b'cha uvkumecha, when you lie down. When you get up, they are opposite of one another. Anybody know another instance where they come?
Right
where
here.
They're opposite? Huh?
Right here.
Very good. Where, Avi?
The last pasuk.
The last pasuk. What's the last pasuk? Isn't that great? Well, lo yada b'shichva u'kuma, didn't know that they were lying down when they were standing up. They're opposite. So what does the younger daughter do? She has to do, like, you can almost feel in it the resistance in her against doing the act. And now we get to the most interesting one, which is what Malka brought up earlier. V'tishkav et avia versus v'tishkav imo. So forget for a second the fact that the father has been dropped in the second one, imo, right? Imagine it's v'tishkav im avia. What's the difference between et and im? So, let's before we give our own thought, anyone know a story in Tanakh? Is there another place in Tanakh where we have et versus im, and it's very clear in a sexual context? Zach, you know the answer. No, Tanakh. I put the Tanakhs on the table. No, Zach, you said it earlier.
Oh.
No? Amnon and Tamar, Shmuel, Bet, Perek, Yud, Gimel, everybody, right? If you've got a Tanakh, grab it, right? If you can, there are three there. People familiar with the story of... we passed it? Right. Okay, this is cool. If you should get a Tanakh. Huh? I hear everything. Right. Right. You should. There are three Tanakhs there. This is super cool. You should grab a Tanakh. Right. One between two. Somebody who gets it in the small one first. Say the page. We're chapter 13 of Shmuel Bet. That's the Shmuel Bet, second book of Shmuel.
The big one is on page
380. Anybody got it in the small one?
670.
670 in the small one. Okay, are people familiar with the story of Amnon and Tamar? Both children of David, half sibling, half brother and sister, if I remember correctly. Tamar, has this awkward relationship with Amnon. Amnon loves her. David sends her over, makes a terrible mistake. He asks a plea. I'm not feeling well. Please come allow her to, you know, make Livy Vot for me. There's this whole play on Livy Vot and Lev. Right, she doesn't want to go, but she does go. Right, Amnon sends everybody out. Pasuk Yud. People got the place? We're at chapter 13 of Shmuel Bet. Pasuk Yud. Toby, what page do you say it is in the small one? 669. 669, Ian. Vayomer Amnon El Tamar. Havi habrira chacheda, bring the food into my room. Vevra miyadech, let me eat from your hand. Vatikach Tamar to Livy Vot. She took her heart, the Livy Vot, the pancakes. Asher asta. Vatavola Amnon achia hechadra. She came to Amnon, her brother, in his room. Vatagash ela, tagesh elav, she drew close to him. So tagesh elav leachol. Vayechazek ba, and he holds her, he takes her. Vayomer la, and he says, Boi shichvi imi achoti. Shichvi imi achoti. Sleep with me, lie with me, my sister. He's asking her, he's propositioning her. He says, I know we're brother and sister, but let's sleep together. But Tomer lo, she says to him, Alachi, al ta'aneini, don't force me. Ki lo ya'asechem b'Yisrael, nothing like this should ever happen in Israel, it's disgusting. Al ta'aseh tanavela hazot, don't do this horrible act. Vani ano alicha cherpati, I'll never be able to rid myself of this shame. V'ata tihyeh ke'echad ha'nevalim b'Yisrael, you'll be one of these vile men in Israel, etc., etc. The king won't have this. Next pasuk, v'lo aval yishmoa v'kola, he wouldn't listen to her. Decided if he couldn't have it consensually, he'd take her by force. V'yachazek mimena, he grabbed hold of her. V'ya'aneha, he raped her. V'yishkav ota. It's not cool. It's cool, right? It's very, very uncool. But ishkav im, ishkav et, right? Ishkav im is consensual. In this story, it's consensual. Ishkav et is by force. Right? It's against a person's will.
But it's not consensual.
The other one. Because
he didn't know.
Ah, so right. So I mean, well, let's play it back. The older daughter, it's rape, right? Lot doesn't know about it at all. For the younger daughter, it's still the same, but it's just a different atmosphere. There's a different music there, right? She's, you know, everything she's doing there in her, to try and sort of, she doesn't want to do it, but she needs to do it. For the older daughter, it's just an act that needs to be done, so she's going to do it. For the younger daughter, everything in her rebels against it, but she'll do what she needs to do. But everything against her, she doesn't want to do it, whatsoever. You really get the feeling that, you know, it seems to be so parallel, but actually, there's this great separation. If you look at the final source on the first sheet, Gemara in Bava Kamma, this is the midrash that Rashi quotes, which puts it about this distinction. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Bariah. God doesn't hold back reward from any of his creatures. Afilu schar sicha na'e, even the reward for just saying something nice, a good thing that you once said. The ilu bechira b'ka'amra Moav, the older one called her son Moav. Gross, right? Saying from my father, very, very blunt and explicit about it, not hiding the fact at all. Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu le Moshe, al tatzer et Moav, al titgar bam milchama. Don't aggress them, don't put them to war. But you can enslave them. Seira de Ka'amra ben Ami. But when the younger one called her son ben Ami, a much more sort of sanua one, Amar laHakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, v'karavta mul bnei Amon al titzuram v'al titgar bam klal, d'afilu angaria lo ta'avid b'hu. Right, the midrash sees a more positive relationship, or if you like, a less negative relationship between Am Yisrael and Amon than between Am Yisrael and Moab, all coming back to this original distinction between the two. And a midrash that Rashi quotes, I think, is extremely compelling. It comes from the sources. What's to learn from this big picture, to conclude? You could build this into a theory that the Torah's got a more positive view of Ammon than it does of Moab. What theme would it link to in Sefer Bereishit? Which one is chosen?
The younger one is chosen.
Right. We are Erev Leidat Yitzchak. right? It's going to be two chapters that later Yitzchak will be born and Ishmael will be kicked out, right? Right. Always it's the younger one who is the preferential one. There's some problem with the elder one. Hevel over Cain, etc. We're going to see it time and time again. Huh? It is ironic. It's the theme of Bereishit. We see it time and time again in the family of Abraham, and you even see it on the outside. Could be a theme going on there. Two quick points to conclude. Did some people like the aircon on as a treat at the end? And then we've had it as we like it until now. Two quick points in order to conclude. This story, our little story, comes at the end of the story of Sodom, which is a story about Lot. What's the connection, right? The person who divided up the Prakim put this story, at the end of the story of Lot fleeing from Sodom. Is there something that we understand about the story, about the connection of the two with one another? Is there something that this story helps explain about the end of that story?
If you didn't have the Prakim from Sodom, there would be like no other way to interpret this without just being like.
Right. Okay. So running away from Sodom is the backstory. Is there a more fundamental connection, Gabriella? Or does this story teach us something about Sodom's story? People been thinking about this? Gabriella's spot on. We've met Lot's daughters before, right? What did Lot do? Lot doing something wonderful, right? Protecting his guests, right, from being abused and raped by the people of Sodom, right? He really puts himself on the line in order to save them. And what does he say to them, right? Top of page 86, Pasuk Vav. Vayetze alehem Lot hapetcha. Lot goes out to the people, the neighbors. Vahadelet sagar acharav. The door closes behind him. Vayomar, and he says, Al na achi tareu. Please don't be like this. Hine na li shtei banot. I've got two daughters. Asher lo yadu ish. They've never been with a man. Otzia na eten alehem. Let me give them out. Give them to you. Vasu lahem ketov be'enechem, and do as is good in your eyes. Rak la'anashim ha'el al ta'asu davar. Just to these men, don't do anything. Because they've come, ke'al kem, ba'o b'tzel korati, they come into my house. In that passage, you get the whole confusion of who Lot is. Is Lot the nephew of Abraham, or is Lot the resident of Sodom? Right, he's the nephew of Abraham, that he's the person who will, be an absolute warrior for hachnasat ochim and looking after his guests. And he's a resident of Sodom, and he says the most vile, disgusting thing that any father has ever said. He says, don't do this thing, just take my daughters. Do as you wish with them. That's what you should do. And here we have our story. Now, the Torah doesn't tell us anything about that at this point, right? The Torah doesn't break to say, and this was disgusting in God's eyes. Or the angels don't say, what are you doing, man? Right? Who are the people that do say that? It's the people of Sodom who say, Lot, you're... Yeah, you've gone too far, right? They don't take that. But what happens? People don't understand the horrifying power of this. The exact same daughters who Lot, in a complete abdication of being a parent and being a father, had said to the people of Sodom, "You have your way with them." They are the ones who actually end up raping him. He is the one who has his daughters completely against his knowledge. Right, sleeping with him and bearing children through him. And I found this midrash literally minute started the shiur. That's why it's set like this, right? Pass them round. Ra'a Lot saw shehayu anshei Sodom shutufin bezima. He saw they were immersed in vulgarity and immorality. B'char b'Sodom, so he chose Sodom. L'hiyot oseh k'ma'aseihem, to do as they did. Minayin sheken hu, from where do we see this? From all the acts that Lot could have done. Omer lahem l'anshei Sodom, he said to the people of Sodom, Hinei na li shtei vanot, I've got two daughters. B'nohek sheba'olam, what generally happens in the world, Moser adam atzmo leharegal benotav, a person would give himself up to die for his children, for his daughters, v'alishton, for his wife. B'horeg o neherag, and he will kill somebody or he will be killed. V'zeh, and this disgusting menuval, Moser benotav litolel bahem, gives his daughters for them to be raped and abused. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu chayecha. God says, by your life, as you lived. La'atzmacha, tama shamran. You're keeping them for yourself. They won't sleep with any other man other than with you. Ulevasof tinokot shel beit rabban masachkin v'korin. And in the end, children, kids, will laugh and will mock and say, Taharan shteh benot Lot ma'abihen, the daughters of Lot grew pregnant through their father. It's possible to definitely view the daughters of Lot and maybe one of them in a positive light. But Lot doesn't come out well. Exactly back to what Jason and Eden said at the start. Maybe Bechorah and Tzi'irah, we're not told their names. Their names are shielded from you know, always being associated with this. Lot is told, right? This is Lot's end. You do have Lot's name, right? This is a real Midah Keneged Midah. It's a powerful example of Midah Keneged Midah. And if you want to end with just something slightly more positive, and to justify myself for giving this year now, Parashat Lech Lecha, we meet Lot in Parashat Lech Lecha, right? Lot starts off with a lot of optimism. He's seemingly the first person who's going to be the heir and descendant of Abraham. And it doesn't go well. And Lot is a tragic figure, right? He really could have been everything. We could have considered Lot to be one of the Avot, but it wasn't to be, right? And mistake after mistake, splitting up with Abraham, choosing Sodom, etc. But in his last act in life, even if it's sort of against his will, there's something left from his life. But just before he leaves the stage, we're given Lot, that Lot will still somehow be the progenitor of two of the nations of the world. Anyway, shakach, everybody. I hope people enjoyed learning this strange and wonderful story. If you like the Torah is all in this book, Abraham, by Yoni Grossman.
That's all.
The whole Torah. Okay. He is, in my humble opinion, the greatest Tanakh teacher alive today. If people want some exciting news, hopefully we will be able to get him to come to NYU for half of spring semester. Ooh. Right? We're trying to sort out a sort of like, he which wants the time to sit and chill in the library and read and write, and we might be able to help him out with that, in which case we'll have the world's best Tanakh teacher with us for 8 weeks. So here's hoping. Shakar, everybody.
This counts for